Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, the old snow is slowly melting. Temperatures around our area, 49 down at Hollis. We have 38 at Alva, 39 at Fairview, 38 at Woodward, 41 at Slapout, and the warmest place in the state right now is Tipton, Oklahoma, 50 degrees. Big shout out to Mr. Steve Clark down there at Frederick. He's a listener of the show, giving him a shout out. And Tipton was the closest place I could get to the mezzanette to you. So there's your temperatures in that area. I'll have your long ranger forecast coming up with you shortly. But welcome to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. Supply chain issues continue to be an obstacle in our everyday lives. Lack of availability of items you need is becoming a regular occurrence. Buying ahead and stocking up is one way to bridge that gap. If you are the one that likes to keep your freezer full during these times, Taylor Ranch can help you with that. They have quarter, half, and whole beef available for sale. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served on their own table. Third-party verified all-natural and hormone-free beef also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef. Call Mr. Jimmy at 405-609-4662. And you won't go wrong, I promise you. Well, there's all kinds of things going on, and I have a co-host today, Mr. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. Welcome to the show, Mr. Kent.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. It's nice to come in after it's got some moisture in the ground.
Oh, this snow, I don't care what anybody says. These snows like we got here are the best thing ever. You don't see the water running down the bar ditches, going to waste, it just slowly melting in.
No, and the other good thing about it is, from an agronomy standpoint, is we got to capture a lot of nitrogen out of this first snow that was in the atmosphere for free.
Yes.
So that'll help a bunch.
Yes, it will. And, well, we got peanut harvest pretty much well over with everywhere. There's still some guys out there got some. It'll be a little bit before this dries up where they can get in and peanuts thaw out a little bit. But, some of the wheat pasture and rye pasture I've seen here lately is getting with it.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good, especially guys who rolled the dice back in September when it wasn't raining at all and just had to start because they got so many acres and they just had to start. It worked out, and I'm glad it did. There's going to be not early pasture by any means, but there's going to be middle-of-the-road pasture.
Yeah.
And that'll help.
This year, everything helps.
Everything helps.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I know those guys rolled the dice, and which is all right. You got to when you got a lot of cattle or you're needing that forage and stuff. But it worked out good. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even have mine in the ground yet. So I got tied up with the peanut guys. And but next week, when it dries out a little bit, I'll get after it, because I don't do nothing but put mine up for hay anyway. So if I had planted it earlier, the deer had to grub down to the ground anyway. So I'm all good. And you've been helping me this year. Daryl and me, you've been helping Daryl and me. Let me rephrase that. With our corn down there at Granite under a pivot, and I've learned a lot from you and from just watching it.
It's a very interesting crop to
it
grow
is.
If you have the stomach to do it.
Yeah.
Because corn can go either way very quickly.
Well, I've learned a lot, and you're right. Not only is it interesting, it's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
when it's all going right, it's fun.
I know. the only downfall of this late corn that I can see is we can't insure it.
Well, if you're under a pivot, what do you really need to insure?
Yeah,
for?
Exactly. And I think it's just state of mind for some people.
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot. I've done everything you've told me to do. And we went with Rob C. on the seed, and a buddy of mine over by Hex, he's growing some too, so we're 3 weeks apart, but I think we're going to be combining at the same time.
Yeah, after this freeze, you ought to be in late next week, I think.
Yep, and you're exactly right. That's what Daryl said yesterday when he went and looked at it. But corn's, it is a whole different beast. I mean, it's when they say it takes 2 or 3 tenths of moisture out of the ground all the time once it hits the
rapid growth state.
Yeah, rapid growth state, because when we went down there, it was 30 days after we planted, and it was about knee-high, or a little less, and fertilized, top-dressed it, and I turned the water on automatic and just put a 3 or 4 tenths around it real quick just to get any of that fertilizer that had got caught up in the plants out of there or dissolved. And then I stopped, and I put it on 1 inch, and I think within 6 or 7 days, it went from knee-high to head-high.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy.
It is. When it hits that rapid growth stage, if it has moisture and nutrition to go, it will go.
Yeah. So.
And if it doesn't, it will crater.
Yeah. And so we next week we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It ain't in the truck yet.
So see if you were profitable or not.
Yeah. Well, the deer, the hogs, and the raccoons have found it, and there's nothing I can do about it. They're not tearing it up too bad, but it's been fun doing it, and I appreciate all your help, Jared, and I appreciate all your help with your consultantness on that, and I'm actually fired up about it. So we got I wish we had pheasant around. I'd ride the combine in the game ward to make sure they're in the next county. I'd make somebody call them bad, somebody spotlighting down there, and I'd be shooting pheasant off the deck of the combine. So anyway, it'd be fun. But anyway, appreciate all your help. We got some things going on here. Let me go over some of the stuff. The cattle market is good today. The grains are not so good. Corn for December, it's down. It's at 664. March is 666. May 665. Too many sixes in there for this guy with a speech problem. Soybeans, January 1428. March is 1438. May is 1440. It's got the biggest hit of the day. It's down almost 30 for the day. Soybeans are. Soybean meal, December 404.90. January's 402.60. Soybean oil, December 74.26, January 72.29. Hard red winter wheat, down a little bit today. It's at 9.54 for December, 9.44 for March. Oats, just hanging in there, about where they always are, somewhere around 3.80 to 4 bucks. They're at 3.95 for December, 3.93 for March. Cotton, December, it's up quite a bit today. It's at almost 89 cents a pound, and March is almost 87. It's at 86.97. Live cattle for December, 151.77, February 154.07, April 157.57, June's 153.50, November's 176.05 for feeder cattle, and feeder cattle for January is 177.15. Lean hogs are down today. They're the only animal in the red today. They're $84.95 for December and $89.35 for February. Let's see what else I got going on here real quick. I had something that I wanted to talk to you guys about. Oh, the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol has published its second annual report. And here to tell us about it before we go to break is Sabrina Halverson from California, and she is going to tell us all about it. And let me see if I can get this bad boy to play.
The U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol has published its second annual report. It details the results for the 2021 through 2022 period. The farm-level, science-based sustainability program reports significant improvements in the sustainability metrics measured, an increase in membership across the value chain, the completion of 9 successful pilots, and its growing international recognition by independent and government bodies. The Trust Protocol was able to provide farm-level data reporting showing significant improvements, with grower members having demonstrated tangible results across 6 key metrics. a 13% increase in land use efficiency and 14% increase in water use efficiency, a 25% reduction in energy use, a 21% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, a 78% reduction in soil loss, and positive soil conservation index for 70% of growers. I'm Sabrina Halverson for the Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Sabrina, and we will be right back after this, and we'll be coming back to start segment two of the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. I think he's listening to me and you today, so we'll have to throw in a gouge on him here in a little bit, see what happens. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual AgTech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our Career Expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
They're built better, they're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring, they're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're gonna catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're gonna drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing, 303-4246.
This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 14th. 1,389 head were sold, 65 head of steers at 488 brought 188, 4 at 581 brought 149, 4 brought 177.50, 18 at 758 brought 178, 66 at 813 brought 177.75, 5 at 854 brought 175, 11 head of heifers at 335 brought 170, 4 at 375 brought 179, 6 at 436 brought 172, 19 at 549 brought 156, 7 at 756 brought 161, 18 at 896 brought 152. Butcher cows were 50 to 8250, butcher bulls 59 to 92, pairs were 1000 to 1600. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-60.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle. No matter where it may be, if you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Currently at Woodward, it's 37 degrees at the airport. The winds are calm. Humidity is 52%. I'll have your northwestern Oklahoma forecast coming up for you shortly. And here at the Elk City at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, looks like we're 41 degrees. Humidity is at 59. And we actually have a wind here at the studio at 3.8 mile an hour. So it's calm out there. Before I get back to Kent, update for you tomorrow. Please remember, OSU Extension Office said Sayre's having the proper use of pesticide application equipment in the morning from 9 till 12. They got a private applicator, how CEUs work, how spraying technology can assist with application, how to select the proper nozzle and why it's important, and also calibrating your sprayers and why tank clean out is so important and how to properly do it. And that'll be in the morning from 9 to 10. Three CEUs in Category 1A are available, and that includes two private applicators. Tomorrow afternoon at the Sayre County Barn, pesticide fate and off-target movement will be from 1 to 4, and three classes there, understanding factors that affect herbicide fate. Everything you want to know about herbicide drift, but we're afraid to ask, and how the mesonet can assist with pesticide applications. Three CEUs also available there. And that's tomorrow in Beckham County at the county barn there across from the OSU Extension Office. So anyway, any questions, call Mr. Greg Hartman there at the OSU Extension Office. And they had a really good turnout on their last one, I understand. Also tomorrow, one more thing. While we're talking about OSU, the Ranchers Thursday Lunchtime Series will be happening virtual November 17th at 12 o'clock. Man, that's during my show. You guys are going to have to listen to both shows at the same time. I hope you don't get confused. But anyway, Mary Dronoski, I hope I said that right, from the University of Nebraska. She will be doing a series on feeding corn stalk, milo stalks, and soybean hay tomorrow at 12 o'clock on the OSU Extension Ranchers Thursday Lunchtime Series. So anyway, well, Mr. Kent Watkins is in here from SEI Agritech right here in Elk City. And Kent has been coming on since basically the show started.
Yeah, just maybe 2 or 3 weeks after it started.
Yeah, and he's very informative, and I really enjoy it. But I almost have him memorized, but not quite. I wasn't very good at memorizing, but you have. We always start your conversation with the five pillars of soil.
Soil health, that's right.
Yeah.
So that's where I start every time, and I know people kind of roll their eyes and get tired of hearing it, but it's the basis of what we're doing.
Yeah, it's everything.
Yeah, so the first one for us in the Southwest is armor on the soil. Keep it covered up. Keep the ground covered up. That's your main resource that you have. You have to protect it, so keep the ground covered up. The second one is low disturbance. That means leave the disc off the tractor and in the tree row where it belongs, or take it to an auction.
Yeah.
Low disturbance. Third one is living root and living plant in and on the soil as many days out of the year as possible, because you have to remember there's an underground herd that you're trying to feed as well, and they live primarily off what's going on in and around that root system.
Okay.
So if you fallow ground and everything's dead, don't expect you to have great soil respiration, because you don't have a lot of life in there.
Right.
The other one is diversity in plant types that you have out there at least part of the year. I realize that people want to be in a monoculture cropping situation, but you can put other things with, let's say, wheat, and then if you're going to go to grain with it, you can, in the spring, you can terminate those other things out with 2,4-D or dicamba for the most part,
right,
and clean it up. And then the fifth one, where it fits, is livestock. If you have a farm that has water and has a fence, get some livestock in there. The urine, manure, and everything that they do will push you down the road a lot further, a lot faster.
Right.
So you can do it without livestock, but it's just faster with.
Well, a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think, if I had my timeline, I called you about I was wanting to grow an awesome wheat crop after we got this corn out. And funny, the subject you're going to talk about is wheat in dry land.
Yep. We haven't had an opportunity to do it for the last few years, but we should talk about, and people should think about, high yield dry land wheat, because there are some pivots in this country, but for the most part it's dry land country.
Right.
And I have done this, but this isn't theory. I have done this before. I have set up several years ago with a couple of growers over at Hydro, and we set their budget up for 100 bushels per acre. And I don't mean in a test strip on a 2x20.
You're talking about the whole field.
Yeah, we did quarters. And I never made 100, but I made 96 bushels 3 years in a row. And that was back in the days when wheat was worth $2.50 and they were taking an LDP payment. And it's been a long time since we've taken an LDP payment. But it gives you a contrast of what they faced then versus what we face now. Now it's just the opposite. We don't have LDP payments anymore. But we have wheat at $7.50 or $8. Input costs are a lot higher today than they were then. But those were in the days of the Custer and the Jagger. So that gives you an idea of how many years ago that was that we were doing that, even with those genetics. The first things that I'd like to talk about this is the variety choice and what you're trying to accomplish. So if you want to go to grain within a particular field in our country, choose a early variety or a medium variety if you're wanting to just roll it up for hay. Use a long variety. Okay, you don't want to use a long variety in our country for grain because that heat is going to get you at some point. So keep that in mind. So variety choice is important. Also along with that is don't use wore out variety that you've had in the bin 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
Get some closer, better genetics. Because it's like making a copy on a copying machine with a piece of paper. The more copies you make, the worse the text gets where eventually you can't read it. Same thing happens with any seed. After a while, it just gets wore out. And then you'll go. Be realistic about your you'll go, but be on the edge of your comfort zone with that. And what I mean by that is 30 bushel wheat doesn't cut it anymore. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. So we have the genetics in all these varieties to be well over 200 bushels per acre, and we're barely doing 10 or 15% of that. So there's a lot of room for management decisions that the genetics have already, they've done their part. We probably aren't going to grow 200 bushel dryland wheat in our country, but we can certainly grow 100 bushel, right. And we should be. And I'm not saying, I know that everybody just rolled their eyes and walked away from the radio, but I'm not saying do this on every acre you have. I'm saying pick a field, split the field in half, take care of part of it, half of it, whatever, the way you normally do, and then use the high yield technology and protocol, and then prove the point or disprove the point to yourself, and then again be at the edge of your comfort zone, and the next year if it works out for you very well, then maybe you need to add to that.
Okay.
The other thing right off the bat that you want to do is protection against disaster. And so that means get with your insurance people, either multi-peril or wind and hail, but protect yourself against the things you can't control in the weather, which most guys do that anyway, and then protect yourself against a downturn in price for your commodity. You remember whenever we started your corn deal, I told you you need to consider protecting your price with options. So you could set a floor and leave the top side open. Now, whether you did that or not, I don't know, but that's what we talked about, because you see now, back when we started your project on your corn was $8. Now it's $6 something.
Yeah.
And that's just a That's just the nature of the market.
Right.
Same thing's going to happen in wheat. It may be $8 today, and when we get close to harvest, they're going to spread the basis, and it's going to go down. So you either want to take your profit off the paper in the options, or if the price is still good or moving up, then you let the option expire worthless, and you take the profit off the crop itself. But those are the things that you do up front. And this year, I realized that it was double tough to get the seed that you needed. But even if you didn't get the very best bang-up seed, you don't have to. As long as you have good seed quality, you'll be okay.
Right.
So then after that, it's the actual crop production, you know, producing the crop, doing the things that you have to do. How far are we?
Yeah, we can. Well, you want to stop right there and we'll take a break?
Yeah, because I want to go on through this.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll stop right here and take a break, and we'll check in before the commercial start with Jerry Nine to see how the cattle market went yesterday. I know the numbers were down yesterday as far as how many head he sold yesterday, a little under six, or under 700 head. And the bulls and the cows on the slaughter side was down slightly. But listen to what Mr. Jerry Nine has to say was going on.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, November 17th. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Elk City, got 50 steers and heifers 4 to 6. Iowa got 15 heifers of 5. Davis, Oklahoma got 32 weaned steers and heifers 4 to 4.5. Freedom got 90 bull and heifer calves 4 to 650. Laverne got 220 steers 6 to 7.5. Moreland, 79 steers 8.5. Slap out, 73 steers 7 to 8. Moreland, 77 steers at 8. Mobility, Texas, 70 steers and heifers at 7. Freedom, 75 steers and heifers 6 to 7. Freedom, 140 steers and heifers 5 to 7. Moreland, 42 steers 7.5. O'Keen got 42 steers and heifers 7 to 8. And Moreland, 18 heifers at 7. We had a very good sale on Tuesday. We sold 33 black bred cows 5 and 6 years old, 5 to 7 months, bring $15.75. We have a sale on Thursday, also on Tuesday, but no sale Thanksgiving Day. We'll see you this Thursday, 8 a.m. sharp, Thanksgiving Jerry Nine and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a four-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As a financial institution, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual Ag Tech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our career expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erick. Call 526-3070.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 11th. 2,598 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 338 brought 246. 29 at 451 brought 220. 6 at 496 brought 186. 8 at 685 brought 155. 5 head of heifers at 260 brought 202. 11 at 462 brought $1.69. 19 at 528 brought $1.65. 8 at 601 brought 159.50. 15 at 637 brought 155. 24 at 735 brought 176. 8 at 987 brought 140.50. Butcher cows were 5 to 89.50. Butcher bulls 45 to 97. Bred cows were 600 to 1610. Pairs brought 1085 to 1825. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Let's check out. Let's do Slap Out, Oklahoma. That's one of the big metropolitans up there in the panhandle for the northwestern Oklahoma. Forecast on the Long Ranger. Today, 44 for a high. Winds will be light. Tonight, 22 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 48. The winds will be out of southwest tomorrow, but they'll switch late tomorrow evening out of the north, probably with a vengeance because the temperature is going to go from 48 to 19. Friday, not very warm and slap out, 28. Friday night, 14 for a low. Saturday, it warms back up to 43, but still windy out of the northwest. And Saturday night, 19 degrees for a low. And Sunday, 51 degrees. Well, speaking of cattle and cold and whatever, the OCA is hosting a fall gathering at the Metcalf Museum near Durham this Thursday night at 6:30. LNC is the meal sponsor. There will be great food, fellowship, and information. It's free to attend. No membership needed. Come hear what the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is doing for you and our 5,000 members. For more information or to RSVP, go to www.okcattlemens.org or call Miss Lori at 580-273-5137. Also, I wanted to mention, if you could, if you guys are coming, I want to encourage you to bring your Rebeller or a Railgrow, whatever you say that, cartridges. They give OCA 25 cents per wheel that we collect. The money then goes mostly towards scholarships and program for producer education. So please bring those cartridges. They'd appreciate it. Tomorrow night at Durham at the Metcalf Museum at 6:30. I can meet anybody if they'll text in at 5:30 at Pack Saddle if you'll buy me a beer prior to the meeting. Just throwing that out there for you guys. So anyway, I'll be there if you'll text me. Text line's wide open. Actually, if you got some questions for Mr. Kent Watkins today with SEI Agritech here, he's available for questioning. Also, our text line is 580-225-9697. We love to participation from the listening crowd. Well, again, here today with me is Kent Watkins with the SEI Agritech right here in Elk City, and we're talking about dry land wheat production. And we stopped at a point there before we go to break. Let's continue our conversation.
I want to start the next session, but first, when I was talking about using options to protect your floor, to set a floor and leave your top open, if you choose to do this, make sure your commodity broker that you choose understands that you're a producer and not a speculator.
Right.
So when they know that, then they won't take your head, they won't take your position off and leave you out there flapping in the wind.
Yeah, because okay. It can happen.
Yeah, it can happen. So now let's talk about crop production. So what this requires is intensive management. That doesn't mean that you spend a huge amount of money. You're going to spend more money than you normally do, but you don't have to spend a huge amount of money. And what that comes down to is being in the field or having your consultant in the field. I'll warn you, most consultants don't know how to do this. And I hate to sound like Donald Trump, but I do know how to do this. Okay. I've done this. But
hey, and he's running for re-election,
that's
too.
That's exactly right. So, anyway, the first thing you should do is get a good soil sample. See where you're at. See what fertility you have in the soil already that you don't have to buy again, and utilize that soil fertility that's already there. Get a good variety that'll fit what you're trying to do. And just remember that the very best yield that any cereal grain, wheat, rye, barley, oats, doesn't matter, is going to make is determined in the first 45 days of that plant's life. It's not determined next spring when you go hit it with 100 pounds of urea. That's not it. It's determined now. And if that plant has everything it needs, it'll set itself up for a big yield. And then throughout the growing year, there are lots of things that can go wrong that will start whittling away at that yield. Some things you can control and some things you can't. So like rainfall, you can't control. Untimely hailstorm, whether it be a big hailstorm or just ding it up a little bit, you can't control. But that's why you have these protections in place to begin with to offset those things. The things you can control is overgrazing and fertility. And it's not just in the old days. If you had a zinc deficiency, most people didn't realize it was a zinc deficiency, and they would go mask that with another 100 pounds of urea.
That ain't gonna fix it.
No, you didn't fix anything. You covered up a bunch of stuff, and then you were still unhappy because you still only made 25 bushel. Now, granted, the urea didn't cost that much back then, but the wheat wasn't worth that much back then either. So it kind of matters. Well, it really matters now. Input costs are crazy high. So if you're going to do this, and I recommend that you, if you don't want to swing for 100 bushels, you need to be swinging for something more than 50 bushels because input costs are too high. And I'm not talking about just fertilizer and seed. I'm talking about machinery and land cost, everything else that goes with it. And we won't get into that.
Fuel.
Yeah, fuel by itself.
Everything.
And then remember that the first 45 days are very critical. That does not mean that, well, it's too late. My crop's been in the ground 60 days. We got delayed this year because of no rain in September. So you're starting a little bit behind. So you may not hit the very peak of your production goal, but you'll get really close even if you took this on right now and got this soil sample done, see what you need, and go from there. There's not a lot to do this fall except set the stage for next spring when you get into rapid growth. And then next spring, like if you were to hire me, I go out there and look at it. I can tell you right now, 99% of the wheat fields out there right now are deficient in boron right off the bat. So if you fix that problem, and get that leaf acting like it should at the early stage, then that sets the plant up to be able to absorb sunlight, which is photosynthesis, which goes into soil health, into plant health, to carry that plant forward into next spring. And that plant at that point decides, yeah, I've got everything I need, I can go for a while. And it does.
Right. Well, they, quick question for you, just out of, you know me, I'm always curious. In western Oklahoma, basically eastern Texas Panhandle, our soil basically high in pH, am I right or wrong?
Most of the soils out here are acid.
Right.
They're neutral to acid. There are some, and down in your country, there are more higher pH soils. Up in the north, up around Blackwell up in there, they're high pH, but that's from years of prolonged use of anhydrous that caused that.
Right.
But for the most part, western Oklahoma we're sitting on acidic calcareous soils.
Okay.
So that's why most of these fertility products that I use work very well because they're built for acid soils.
Gotcha.
So
That was just my curious question there. Is there something in western Oklahoma, and I just guessed at pH, and so it's high in acid, and but is there something to do to calm that down so you can make high yield on dry land?
So when you get lower than neutral, which is 7.2, you want to stay somewhat acid. But when you start getting below 5 into the high 4s, you get into a aluminum toxicity problem. And what that does is it prunes the roots off the plants, the aluminum does.
Okay.
So you want to lime, back to, or gyp back to a neutral, closer to a neutral pH. So okay. It would be, you would add lime to raise your pH. And that takes a while. That's not a fast thing. So it's lime this year and get your soil back in shape to go next year. If you're in the 4s. If you're in the mid 5s to mid 6s, you're good to go.
Okay.
You can produce really good wheat in that pH range.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Once you get into the spring, then it's, if I'm doing it, then I go out every week. I collect tissue samples, send them in, see what you're short in. And then it's up to you, and you have to be Johnny on the spot. When we get results back, if it says you're short on boron, zinc, copper, that means you go put it out. That doesn't mean you wait 10 days to go put it out, because the next time I pull a leaf sample, it's going to be even worse. Remember, the reason you don't grow great yields here is because it's always short in something, because people just, the price has not allowed you to be able to take care of it like you should. You can do that now, and you should.
Okay.
You really should. So once you get into that rapid growth stage, then it's being there every week, scouting, make sure nothing's sneaking up on you as far as insects or diseases. And when you get to the flag leaf stage, then it absolutely requires a shot of fungicide to protect that flag leaf. You're not adding to yield with that fungicide shot. What you're doing is protecting the yield that is there. And you can see that yield there in the field at that point. If you don't do that, and we have one of those years, and we do just about every year, where the leaf rust comes in on the wind out of North Texas, which it actually comes up from the Gulf of Mexico, and it just leapfrogs up on the wind. If you dry that flag leaf up, you're drying your yield up as well. Because once that flag leaf comes out, that is where all of the nutrition for to fill that head, that is where all of it comes from. It doesn't come from the soil any longer after that flag leaf is exerted.
It's coming from the plant itself, it's out of that flag leaf.
Out of that flag leaf. So that flag leaf has to be in good shape for that head to go ahead and fill out. And I know guys have seen, if they look at their head when it's getting close to harvest time, there's maybe 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 positions on that head that didn't fill. Those seeds, those berries aborted. That flag leaf dried up, and you didn't have enough there to go ahead and fill that berry out, and it aborted it. So you cost yourself yield. And today, compared to back in the day, fungicides are extremely cheap. You can make that shot easily and cheaply.
Let's take a break real quick. And I got my Hover Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for southwestern Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. We'll be right back. I got Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech on the show with me.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. BNLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching BNL Red Angus.
With a small farmer or a big farmer, if you can save, you know, a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it. Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge.
500 gallons of free delivery, I mean, you know, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
I always tell my customers if they have a problem with my beef to tell me, but if they love it and enjoy it, tell everybody. Well, this is Monty, and I just want to encourage everybody out there to enjoy beef and eat beef. And if you have an opportunity, look into buying a half or a whole beef from a local producer like me. It's born and raised and fed right there in Sweetwater, Oklahoma. It's processed locally. We're a third-party verified, all natural, and I guarantee it to be good. Look us up on Facebook, Tucker Family Beef.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the show. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Just out of respect to Mr. Steve Clark down there at Frederick, I'm going to do Tipton today for our Long Ranger forecast. How about that? If it'll come up, there it comes. Currently at Tipton, it's 51 degrees. The winds are out of the north-northwest, 8 miles an hour, with wind gust up to 11. Drying out there. Humidity is 42%. Today, 52 for a high. They're almost there. Tonight, 28. Tomorrow, 58 for a high and sunny. Southwest winds, 3 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, 30 degrees. Friday, 39. Friday night, chills out the list a little bit, 23 degrees. Saturday, 47. Saturday night, 23, and Sunday, 53 degrees. And that's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. Well, back on the air with me is Mr. Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech right here in Elk City, and we're talking about growing 100 bushel dry land wheat crop, and it can be done. He said he's proved it. There's no theory to it.
Nope, it's not a theory. We've done it, and we did it with varieties that weren't even close to as good as they are today. Genetics are there. All you have to do is take care of it, but you have to know how to take care of it. You can't just go out there and be helter-skelter about it. So through this process, now we're up to the fungicide shot. You absolutely, that is a required shot to make this work, and that's to keep that flag leaf healthy, because that's feeding the head to finish it up. The other thing I want to mention, and it's very important, is you don't want to overuse these fungicides. The fungicides we have today are extremely good, and they are extremely efficient. So just use what you have to. Don't overdo it, because that fungicide is going to get washed down to the soil, and you'll wind up killing the fungus that's growing in the soil to help you do this. So you don't want to overuse it, I guess, is what I'm getting to.
Okay.
So now it's after the flag leaf. It's now we're to the point. You've done everything you can do. Now it's just hold your breath and hope we don't get whacked with a hailstorm.
And hope we get rain.
And hope you get a little rain to finish it. But you don't, dryland wheat, even at 100 bushel yield go, does not take a lot of rain. Wheat is really an arid crop. What it does require is a timely rain. And we can typically get those. I mean, this last year we didn't, but...
Yeah, last year was the first time in a long time we haven't got that timely rain.
But, you know, assuming, you know, we're going to start getting some moisture going forward now, and the La Nina is going to go neutral and all those things that, again, we can't control. But that's why you have the crop insurance in there, and that's why you have the price insurance with options in there. That's why you do those things up front to protect yourself now that you've spent all your money and it's almost harvest time. So now we get to harvest. Make sure your combine is ready to go. If you do this correctly, this will not be your first field that you cut. It will not. It'll be healthy, and it will still be trying to grow. It will still be trying to add test weight and protein. So you have time from the time harvest starts. You'll have a little time to get your combine fine-tuned so that you're not spitting a bunch of it out on the ground behind the combine.
Not feeding the doves.
That's right. And you're putting everything in the grain tank that you should be. So there's about 6 weeks from 5 to 6 weeks from fungicide shot on flag leaf to harvest. Make sure you have your crop insurance up to speed, whether that's wind and hail or multi-pro. Make sure it's up to speed, because that is acid indigestion time in that 6 weeks when that black cloud comes out of the west and it's too late. You know, so make sure you get that done.
Instead of heading for the tornado cellar, you're wondering, what's it doing over there on my wheat?
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of... So will this same concept work with rye?
Yes, it will. Okay. Rye is a little tougher to do because rye is built more for forage, but you're not going to grow in this country. I don't think you're going to be able to grow 100 bushel rye.
Right.
I think you could probably grow 40 or 50 bushel rye.
Right.
Using these same, but most guys who grow rye have convinced themselves that 20 bushels is all they're going to grow, 20 to 22 bushels, 23 right. bushels. So they don't take care of it. If you took care of it, you will exponentially increase yield.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe even double it.
You could. If you had good close-up rye that's not 10 years old, there's no reason why you couldn't do that. Yeah. So then we get the crop harvested. If you happen to hit a year where you can sell quality, try to have a place to put this wheat in a bin of yours or a neighbor's, rent something or whatever, until the end user can use it. So they're going to be buying on test weight. You're going to be selling on test weight. And if you have protein in a year that nobody has protein, you can get a premium for that, and you should take the opportunity to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
So where you have big yields everywhere, you will not have protein. Where you have low yields, stressed plants, all that, everybody's going to have protein. You're not going to get a premium for that. You won't know that until the end.
Till you're done.
But when that day comes, at least you will have the opportunity to really capitalize on a yield first and on price second.
Well, Mr. Kent Watkins, I think we're about out of time, and I appreciate it. If anybody's got any questions, they can get a hold of him at SEI Agritech. What's the number down there?
580-225-0317.
Because nowadays, like you've said it a couple times, input costs are ridiculous.
Yes.
And I don't see them going down anytime soon.
They're not going to this next year.
No.
They will not.
And they've got reports. I read a report out on beef cattle here earlier about all the costs and everything. And beef could be crazy next year.
I think it will be. If we can get moisture going into the spring, I think cattle's going to get high. I hope it does.
Yeah, me too.
Everybody needs it.
Yep, sure does. Thanks again, Kent, for coming in.
Thank you.
These guys, be good out there. Be careful. Don't get stuck in the mud, because them roads are muddy, and I like it. Anyway, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.